And their group, their organization, Grassroots, has been represented on Armed American Radio in the past, and that's the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, the JPFO crew, and nobody, again, these, I'm telling you, the grassroots organizations are where it's at. These are the people who are out there, the boots on the ground, every single day, fighting on behalf of me and fighting on behalf of you. Every day, if you're a gun owner, even if you just believe in your firearms freedoms. Charles Heller joins me right now. Charles, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hello, Mark. Boy, I tell you, if my station's initials were BFD, I wouldn't be broadcasting it.
I thought about that, but I'll let you run with that one.
That's funny.
I can say it. You can't. They're your affiliate.
Now, you tell us, give us some of your background, Charles. You're broadcasting. You have a show.
I have actually three shows.
Right.
I'm originally from Chicago. I moved from Chicago in 1978 when I stupidly would have registered a gun at that time in my life. And Chicago's scam was, and it's the one that was overcome by the McDonald decision, which was many, many years later. But Chicago says you can own any handgun you want as long as it's registered. Okay, here's my registration. Sorry, we don't accept those. Well, I made a principal decision in 1978, in November of 1978, that any government that denies me the tools of my freedom, it does not qualify for my tax revenue. And so I voted with my feet. The first opportunity for employment that I had, I moved to Phoenix, Arizona, and then later to Tucson, Arizona. I am a political refugee for the right to keep and bear arms.
You went from the belly of the beast, literally, to the freest state in the nation when it comes to, as far as I'm concerned. As far as
we can argue how free you are in Arizona. Arizona has some great gun laws, but it has some terrible self-defense laws. I mean, it has some good ones, but it has very, very much room for progress. For one thing, the prosecutorial discretion that's available in Arizona means that you will have a very, very different set of standards in self-defense if you are, say, for instance, in Maskarovka County, Maricopa, by the Shining City in a pit, Phoenix, versus down in the workers' paradise of Tucson, Arizona, near the U of A.
Now, you bring up a great point, though, Charles, one that I don't think we discuss enough on the program, and that's the difference between having good gun laws and having good self. They are not one and the same.
They are not. They're absolutely not. But to continue, I moved to Arizona in 1978. I became a firearms instructor. I teach and have taught for the last 18 years. I've been certified by Arizona's DPS, which is our state police. I've been certified to teach the concealed weapons class. I also am an NRA pistol, rifle, and personal defense instructor, and I've been teaching Arizona's class on CCW for the last 18 years almost. Also, in 2005, I refer to us as the four pocked men of the Horsecalypse. Three other guys and myself formed the Arizona Citizens Defense League, and the four of us wrote the model legislation for something very similar, which became constitutional carry in Arizona. So I'm kind of on the front lines. I'm the secretary. I'm one of the four founders, and I'm the serving secretary of the Citizens Defense League. And our annual meeting's coming up this weekend on Saturday will be our annual meeting, our sixth annual meeting. And we will be having a hullabaloo barbecue. It's an open carry dinner. We politely request that every single human being, even the children who are of the age of reason, come armed, and none of this strap your unload your gun and strap it open crap at gun, like you see at gun shows. We believe in the right to keep and bear arms means that you actually keep it on yourself and bear it to the barbecue. And we have a raucous good time. We have the president of Arizona State Senate will address us, the majority leader, every now and then the governor hops on by. She vetoed two of our bills this year, so we didn't invite her.
But, you got a little bit of work to do.
Well, you know, that's okay. We've gotten 17 major bills passed in the last 5 3/4 years. That is phenomenal success. In 2006 and in 2010, we were recognized by Mr. Gottlieb's organization, the Second Amendment Foundation, the most successful grassroots gun rights lobby in the United States. Back to my bio, I have three radio programs. I have a free market radio show in Tucson called Swap Shop. And then I have a, people can buy and sell and trade anything they want. Guns are welcomed and encouraged. Machine guns are fine as long as it's a lawful transfer, but no pornography because, you know, one has social value and the other doesn't. And then, Liberty Watch is about maintaining a free country and, America armed and free.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me make a single statement here. And Sean, I want you to jump in as well. This is who has your back. This, seriously, Charles, I like to repeat week after week after week, and I like to drill this home, that while we're sleeping, these are the boots on the ground, and you are the boots on the ground. And I think the listeners just got an earful of what you and I heard over the last, 2.5, 3 days.
Right, and we heard it, you know, I heard it in headphones. I'm also the scribe of record. Over the last 10 years, I've become the scribe of record for the gun rights policy, gun rights policy conference, and we are, I provide all the recordings, the archive of the gun rights policy conference. I vend it. We kind of defray the expense of going there. It doesn't really break me even, but that's okay. I don't go there for profit. But I was selected this year to replace Aaron Zellman, Aaron of blessed memory, who passed away. He was the founder and the CEO, the national director of Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. Aaron passed away in his 64th year last December, and I was selected about 3 months ago to replace him as president because of my organizing experience in Arizona Citizens Defense League and the fact that the director of a Jewish organization really probably should be Jewish. And I meet that qualification. And also because I have an ability to get a point across.
You do, and you are. Before we go to a break, which we're going to do in just about, about 60 seconds, I want you to let people know where they can go to find out anything they want about you. And when we come back from that break in just a minute, we've got about 30 seconds before we hear the music. When we come back, I want to talk with you about the JPFO and what you guys are up to. Aaron has been on the program before. I love it. You guys are right up there on the forefront. Where can people find you?
Well, my bio is on jpfo.org, and if people want to get in touch with me personally, they can dial up my email address, which is my name, Charles Heller, H-E-L-L-E-R, at jpfo.org. They can communicate with me directly, not while I'm driving my Vibe. I happen to be driving home from Chicago to Tucson right at the moment. Actually, I'm stopping in Omaha tomorrow for a little visit with a nice gray lady by the name of Marlon, and a little passion I have about visiting submarines. But people can dial me up at charlesheller@jpfo.org, and they can find all kinds of information at jpfo.org.
Okay, Charles, stay with us. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back indeed to the Armed American Radio Network. As Ted Nugent says, Armed American Radio, what a great name for a radio show. We have Charles Heller with us. Charles Heller, who I'm not even going to go into his whole bio. You heard it, but I'll tell you, he's the executive director of the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. Charles, welcome back.
Thank you. We like to bill ourselves as the true Never Again Jews. We put the gunpowder back into Never Again.
I love it.
And if folks, if you know, you don't have to be Jewish to belong to our organization, but it doesn't hurt. And if you want to be a member, it's a gigantic commitment, $25 a year or $40 for 2 years. So for less than a box of premium self-defense ammunition, you can support an organization that truly does support your rights. We've done groundbreaking research on the origins of the 1968 Gun Control Act and having many similarities. It's not word for word, but having a lot of similarities with the Weimar Weapons Law, which preceded the Nazis, mm-hmm. and then the Nazi Weapon Law of 1938. We've done a tremendous amount of books. We've collaborated with great authors like L. Neal Smith on books like the Mitzvah and the Hope. And that was Aaron and L. Neal wrote that together. And we've got a lot of great publications at jpfo.org. We've got some handbills. And probably our most famous thing we did is we have a poster that says, "All in favor of gun control, raise your right hand," and has Adolf Hitler giving a Nazi salute. And, boy, that sure does aggravate a whole bunch of synagogue-type people, and we're just the ones to aggravate them because we love doing it. Our goal, among other things, is we would like for the entire Jewish population in the United States to at least stop being anti-gun. We know we can't convert everybody. Maybe convert's a bad word when we're talking with the Jewish faith, but maybe we can't convince everybody. But at least if we can take away some of their virulence to against their virulent opposition to our rights, their bigotry against our rights to keep and bear arms, well, then we'll have fulfilled some of our obligation as an organization.
Nobody does it better than you guys. And what I like to say is, I mean, you guys are right, is in your face, right? I don't mean that in a negative connotation. You guys are, I mean, extremely aggressive with the facts.
Yeah, we bill ourselves as America's most aggressive civil rights organization. We go right up to calling people liars and stop at the gate of that. We don't do that, but we do everything else. We tell, you know, when folks aren't telling the truth, we point it out. Can I give you an example? Have I got just a moment to do that, Mark?
You absolutely do.
Okay, I don't want to run over a break or something. I had an opportunity to meet with Colin Goddard and spend an hour, actually a little over an hour with him. Colin Goddard, for those who don't know, is with the Brady Campaign to Promote Gun Violence, and he's one of their spokesmodels, and he's a survivor of Virginia Tech. He was shot 4 times at Virginia Tech, and he explained, I won't go into the long story, but I asked him to describe the events, and over a period of about 50 seconds, they realized, they began to think that the noise of the gunshots were actually construction noises, and until they got louder and closer together, did not realize they were gunshots, because there isn't, I guess, much of a gun culture among the people who are going to Virginia Tech. And his teacher went to the door, opened the door, looked out and saw Cho coming towards them with 2 guns. At that point, she slammed the door and yelled, everyone, get under your desk and call 911. Goddard got under his desk, opened his backpack, got his cell phone out, opened his phone, dialed 911, got a connection, and as the 911 operator was answering, that's when Cho came in and started shooting. So I asked him, Colin, if there had been an off-duty police officer sitting next to you, right next to you, and with that amount of time realizing what was happening, do you think he could have drawn and engaged the shooter coming in and neutralized the threat? He said to me, quote, I've wargamed that over and over again in my mind, and I just don't know, unquote. Well, Colin Goddard is an ROTC guy. He's qualified on an M16. He shot on their rifle team. He's got a, you know, the Army has a habit. They don't, like, give people an M16 unless they can, you know, use it. So he must know something about guns and something about tactics if he was in ROTC. How you cannot know that with 50 seconds of warning, a qualified, trained shooter, defender, could take out or neutralize, at least neutralize a threat, if not take it completely out, how you could not know that is beyond my imagination. And I've pointed out in an article about that, that Mr. Goddard is being, at best, disingenuous when he says he doesn't know if an armed defender could have stopped the Virginia Tech massacre.
All right, Charles, I too had an opportunity to meet with Colin Goddard. I was on the Fox News Stossel show with him. He was on one of the panels with us last June.
Mm-hmm.
And I did ask him that question. I asked him in the green room if, I didn't phrase it to him directly. I said, if we could wake these people up, if we could bring them back, do you believe that any of the 32 who were murdered, of your colleagues, your friends who were murdered that day, wouldn't tell you today that they would have preferred, if they knew it was going to happen now, if they knew what had happened to them was going to happen, if they wouldn't have preferred to have been armed? And his response to me, and I quote, was, guns aren't the answer. I said, you didn't answer my question. I'm asking you whether or not you feel, having lived through this, that the 32 who didn't would, if they knew it was going to happen to them again, wouldn't want the opportunity to be armed the second time around so that they could go on with their lives, graduate, get married, have children, live a full, productive life, meet their grandkids. And he said to me, guns aren't the answer. I said, you're not answering my question, and he never did.
Well, that's what happens when you press these people. The reason is of cognitive dissonance. They're disconnected from reality. They're married to their philosophy. That's actually a difference between them and us. If you show us a better way, for instance, David Koppel, pointed out something that I'd said that wasn't that correct, I immediately corrected it. And I'm glad if someone corrects me, I'm happy to hear it. Make home alamdi his kawalti in Hebrew, by all my teachers am I made wiser. It's on my grandfather's headstone, which, by the way, I just went and visited last week. It was a real blessing to do that. But, that's the difference between them and us. They're married to their philosophy. I'm married to the truth, or we're married to the truth. And I can tell you that I know from experience that asking people who are of that ilk a direct question frequently doesn't work. You've got to pose a hypothetical that's done in such a way that it doesn't box them into a corner or doesn't appear to box them into a corner. And that's why I asked Goddard what I did the way I did. But it was a genuine eye-opening experience for us.
It was an eye-opening experience for me. I've talked about that confrontation. The conversation I had with him was very brief. He probably doesn't even remember the conversation. It was a very busy day. Everybody was getting ready to go on the show. Everybody was being introduced, pro-gun, anti-gun in the same room. But it was an eye-opening experience to me. It's hard not to have feelings for this kid. His story is he was there. And right. It would be difficult to imagine having been there. But I have spoken to, I've had the privilege to meet and talk to many survivors. I wrote about them. And I don't understand that angle. I don't understand how the Bradys got their claws into this kid and how he doesn't see it the other way around when he was shot 4 times. Charles, I want to thank you for being on. We're going to have you back on again real soon,
must,
if that's okay.
I must tell you about an exciting project that we're going to do vis-a-vis that.
Charles, I need to cut you off here because we're taking a hard break. Stick around. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere, everybody. Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Network. I'm going to go right back to Charles Heller because he's got a great story to tell. Then we're going to go to Larry Pratt from the Gun Owners of America, and we're really going to fill your prescription for freedom right now on the Armed American Radio Network. Welcome back. Charles Heller, you have a good one to tell us. Let it rip.
Yep, but first I want to do a liner for you. Armed American Radio for high-resolution radio.
Now you're talking.
I want to tell you that our project that we have in the which we're going to do one major project a year at JPFO, and our project in the coming year is going to be we are going to do a movie reenactment of the Virginia Tech shooting. But one of the things we're going to do is we're going to show the every single point at which the shooter, the criminal, the VCA, as John Farnham says, the violent criminal actor could have been engaged and neutralized. And every single one of those people, again, we're going to show people of all abilities and of all ethnicities engaging the target. And we're going to show, and our movie, instead of being called Living for 32, is going to be called Saving 32.
I love it. Let's talk about that the next time you come on the show. And, I tell you, I could have a conversation with you about that. I went to school about 9 miles from Virginia Tech down there in Radford, Virginia. Know the area very well. Have a lot of family around. It's a conversation we need to have. And I like the way you're going to forensically pick that apart, because you will win. Yet again, Charles, you'll win on the facts.
Well, if you have the facts, pound them. If not, pound the table like the other side does.
I got to tell you, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. Charles, listen, thank you very much. Appreciate it. We'll have you back on the program very soon. Thanks for stopping on your way home. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Charles Heller, Executive Director of the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. You can check them out at jpfo.org, a dynamite organization fighting, like I said, boots on the ground, fighting for your rights while you're in bed. These are the people that are on the ground. You heard his bio. It just doesn't get any better than that. So our thanks to Charles for coming on for the first time. Will not be his last appearance.